This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Illinois General Assembly House Leader James Durkin. James talked about his perspective on Springfield, and Durkin said this is a difficult time for the state of Illinois. He says that people are tired of the continued attempts to raise taxes in Illinois, and the Republicans are tired of wearing the collar. He said Republicans are not against everything. As a taxpayer, Durkin would like to see a return on his investment, and currently he doesn't see one. He spent most of the meeting talking about the $133 billion pension debt, which has increased from $54 billion in 2008. He talked about $7 billion in unpaid bills. He said now the Democrats have a majority in both sides, but they want to abolish the one guarantee that taxpayers of Illinois have, and that is the flat tax. He says we must address pension problems before we can do anything else. Durkin said that Illinois currently has one of the highest tax rates of any state in the union, and that tax increases in the past will not work now or in the future. He feels the state and Governor Pritzker must do a much better job of promoting economic growth, encouraging business to expand. He talked about the difficulties with the minimum wage raise to $15 an hour, how this will affect nonprofits in parts of Illinois, especially those beyond the Chicago metropolitan area. He asked several times, why will the Democrats not consider changing the Illinois Constitution to deal with pensions in the state of Illinois? In 2018, he said, we were able to negotiate a budget in a bipartisan fashion, and we hope to do that again this year. When a member of the club asked him about his meeting with Mayor Lightfoot, he said he was very impressed that she came to Springfield, met with more than the four leaders, met with all of the representatives that she possibly could. He also mentioned the fact that his brother Tom, who is a federal appellate judge, has shared White Sox season tickets with Lori Lightfoot for many years. On a graduated income tax, he said the big danger is we don't know what the rates will be. And a $250,000 limit talked about by Governor Pritzker will eventually catch up with the middle class. And he's afraid that many more people will leave the state of Illinois. Finally, he said, by the end of May, we hope to present to Illinois citizens a solid, fair, and responsible capital program to repair our many roads, bridges, and those ever-promising potholes.
Thank you, Frank, and I appreciate those kind words, and it's good to be back here and to see so many friends. And it's nice to hear Fenwick High School, because we don't say it enough in Springfield. Hey, Dan, good to see you and other Friars here. That's kind of an inside joke, because when anybody comes into my office, one of my senior advisors is a Joliet Catholic graduate, so I always make mention of the fact that there's more Fenwick people who come into Springfield as opposed to Joliet Catholic. So inside joke. Anyway, nobody else gets it. Fine, I get it. But also, it's good to see my colleagues. None of them were mentioned. My members of mine from my caucus in the House of Representatives. I'm looking over here right now. I see Keith Wheeler. He's on my leadership team from Oswego. Keith, thank you for joining us. Who else? Margo McDermott from Okina. Margo, thank you for joining us. Who else we got? Dan Ugasti has joined us. Dan is from Geneva. Thank you, Representative Ugasti. Representative Lindsay Parker has driven a long way from Kankakee, which is great because I've had to go there three times in the last week and a half, so you owe me the favor. So thank you. Who else am I missing? The rest of them, I guess, had better things to do. Grant Worley from Naperville. Thank you for joining us, Grant. And the rest of them, I guess they got, like I said, they got better things to do. So anyway, it's a great honor. It's great to be here today, and it's you know, this invitation is something that is it's important to me. It's important that I give you my perspective on more than life, about what we're doing in Springfield and how we're coping and how we're managing things at a very, very difficult time in the state. But I'm sure that your presence here today is more to do with more than the substance of my speech rather than the tickets that you feel obligated to purchase every week. So I'm going to talk about some things that I'm kind of tired of hearing about. One, I'm tired of hearing about the weather. I think it's getting 5 inches of snow a week ago, and now we're here, having this beautiful weather. I'm certainly tired of that. I'm tired about the Bears having signed three kickers, but one that I find very interesting is a kicker whose name is Blewett, B-L-E-W-I-T-T. I kid you not. But where else would that happen except in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois? The only thing missing is that he is not one of our nominees for the House of Representatives. So I think we had a few of those last November. They should have changed their names, or I should change it right now for them, because that's what they did. But you know what? We're all tired about the Bears special teams. But there's another thing that I am going to talk about probably at length right now. Another thing I'm very tired about is the continued attempts to raise taxes in Illinois. What a surprise. Okay. So, all right, I'm a Republican. We're against everything, right? Sure. Right, Grant? Lindsay? Sure. But here's a little secret. I'm also an Illinois taxpayer. Yes, I pay taxes. I pay income taxes. I pay property taxes. But you know what? As a taxpayer, I would like to see a return from my annual investment that I just made to the Illinois Department of Revenue. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it in a long time. Now, taxes is the story of the day, story of the month, story of the year in Springfield. So let's just go back in history. I'm sure you've been reminded of this, but I'm going to continue to remind you of this, that in 2011, the Democrats who ran Springfield raised our income taxes in order to stabilize the budget and pay down debt. How did that work out? So we heard it again in 2017. Another tax hike was going to be used to, get this, stabilize the budget and pay down debt. How did that work out? No. And here we are now. $133 billion in pension debt, $7 billion in unpaid taxes, and also some of the highest taxes in the country. But wait, a new governor with his Democrat majorities in both the House and the Senate have a plan. They want to raise taxes by abolishing the one protection as taxpayers we have left from this prolific band of tax hikers in Springfield. It's called the flat tax. Yes, the flat tax, the fair tax, a tax enshrined in our Constitution. But it gets even better or worse if you live here. Before the Democrat majority wants to install this so-called progressive tax, they want to raise taxes elsewhere first. Here's what's on the list. Let's raise taxes, or the consideration is to raise taxes on plastic bags, health insurance premiums, gambling, retailers, cigarettes, e-cigarettes, F-cigarettes, G-H-I-G, whatever they are. I don't know, whatever. I don't know what I'm missing, but the point is, where does it end? When I talk about these types of taxes, I want the middle class to know this, because the middle class, you are now officially on notice. Now, under this Democrat plan, we have to raise taxes first and raise them again and hope that meaning the Democrat majority, will get their act together and hope to stabilize our state by paying down our bills, even though they have never been able to do this in the past. Promises made, promises not kept. Oh, and to actually bring stability to our state finances, we are being asked to shortchange pension funding this year to the tune of about $900 million. Does that sound familiar? The previous governor did that. Didn't work out too well for him either. Pension holidays and underfunding of the pension systems to make budget. And I'm sure 10 years from now, the answer to that additional debt that we will incur from that will be to raise taxes again. Uplifting, isn't it? No, but it's reality. It is reality, folks. Now, both sides, Republicans and Democrats, are able to recite statistics as to why they are right on the issue of taxes. And I will take my moment up here to recite my favorite. In March of this year, WalletHub declared that Illinois has the highest tax rates of any state. In fact, we ranked 51st thanks to Washington, D.C. being included. Our overall tax burden on Illinois families and businesses is already oppressive. While we have the highest tax burden, we still have the worst funded pension systems in the country, $133 billion in debt just from our state systems alone, not to get into our local pension systems with the city of Chicago and every other local government. We also have over $7 billion in unpaid bills, and because of this, we have the lowest bond rating of any state. It's nothing to be proud of. Tax increases in the past haven't worked, and they will not work now. But that is what the Democrat majority and the governor continue to offer as the solution to all the problems that they mainly created. Governor Pritzker has publicly asked to the detractors, I guess I'm one of them, of his higher tax agenda, he asks what our plan is. Well, I'm here to give you an alternative. First, let's drop this idea of increased spending of $1.2 billion in this next fiscal year that he requested in this year's budget address. Second, there's something called economic growth. It's a secret down in Springfield because we don't get a chance to talk about it or execute upon it. What's wrong with promoting economic growth? Think about it. New job creation that naturally grows the state's revenues and expands the tax base, that means more revenue without raising taxes. Novel concept, okay? Also, the General Assembly should not crush the will of business owners and employers in our state. And that seems to be a reoccurring reality in Springfield. Rather, the General Assembly must encourage and help them expand and invest in our states. A recent example of that will crushing is the raising of the minimum wage to $15 an hour without regard to the geographic and demographic diversity of our state and without understanding the impact, particularly the impact upon nonprofits in Illinois, such as Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, and other service providers. We should instead give employers flexibility and benefits. With $133 billion in unfunded pension liability, Illinois government should not be dictating employment rules and benefits to anyone. And it's just not economic growth in Springfield that we need to get better at. We seem to drop the ball or give up any government reform. For example, we all know the issue with our public pension systems and our debt. And this past year, again, I've introduced President Cullerton's consideration model regarding our pension systems in the House. I did that the year before and the year before that. I have votes ready in the House to be able to get that done. But unfortunately, it goes nowhere. And because of that, our pension debt has increased from $54 billion in 2008 to $133 billion. No one wants to touch pensions. And while we now spend all this energy talking about changing the Constitution to raise taxes, we never seem to get Democrats to talk about changing the Constitution to protect taxpayers. For years, we have been calling for changes to our pension clause and much-needed changes to the Illinois redistricting process. I wish the governor, Governor Pritzker, would spend as much time talking about fair maps as he does about fair taxes. If the governor wants to talk about something that's unfair in Illinois, we should start with those two examples. Now, we all know that Illinois has the ability to succeed. We are blessed with hard-working, smart people, wonderful cities like Chicago across the state, large and small, all with as much potential as the eye can see. But in Illinois, we are held back by the actions or inactions of state government. For once, it would be nice to talk about what we can do for the people instead of trying to figure out how we can take more away from them. Let's finally work together to give taxpayers a better deal. Not a deal where the tax dollars go to a lifetime pension for a guy who is a substitute teacher for a day, or a redundant school township treasurer's office in Lyons Township that should have been eliminated like the rest of them in the 1960s. Let's change the conversation away from more, more, more to better, better, and better. We need to focus on growth and reform, but to do that, the entire General Assembly must get serious about fixing our state and not just raising taxes. This past January at the inauguration, I talked about bipartisanship and a new day of hope. I walk into this office, and I've said this over and over again, that I will work with the Democrat majority on any issue as long as they respect the priorities of the Republican side of the aisle. If you do that, my votes will be there. It was never more obvious over the last 2 years when we took on education funding reform, the third rail of politics for the past 50 years in Springfield. The four of us negotiated it. I worked very hard to cut a deal and to work with the leaders and also the governor, and we finally got it done. It was the right thing to do, not only legally, but morally. And we did that in a bipartisan manner. This past year, we actually broke the impasse and we negotiated a budget in a bipartisan manner. That's what I do. That's what I've said from day one, that I will work with anyone on any issue that's fair to Illinois, but they need to understand that it's a two-way street, that I respect and I represent a group of men and women who are dedicated to public service, who represent different parts of the state, and their voices need to be heard. And their voices are heard through me. Now, I said at this General Assembly at the inauguration, I talked about the new day of hope. I also said that the 101st General Assembly should be more than general. It should not just be a General Assembly. It can be a great assembly, a great 101st General Assembly with a will to fix Illinois' problems once and for all. Now, with 5 weeks left in the legislative session, I hold out hope that we can come together for the betterment of our state and its residents. But before I take questions, I want you to know all is not bad news. There is a very uplifting report that just came out. All right, here's where the humor starts, okay? All right. According to Simply Thrifty Living, Illinois, get this, has the lowest cost of any state for a case of beer at $15.20 a case. That must be real quality stuff, right? Huh? Tom, what do you think? Yeah. Woo. Now, so after today, I encourage all of you to go to your liquor store to stock up immediately after you leave, because we are back in Springfield next week, and I'm sure after my comments today that I have placed this interesting and fun fact on the Democrats' radar, and I'm sure they'll be looking to tax each sip. Think about it. Tax each sip, and then tax each belch from that sip. Why stop there? How about installing an I-Pass lane in Saputo's men's room in Springfield? Now, if that was law, I know about a dozen guys are in this room today, through their actions alone, could balance the budget within 1 week. So with that, folks, that was my attempted humor. We're going to move on. But with that, I just want to thank you. But we call that specifically the gross, gross tax receipts. So in every sense of the word. So anyway, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. And I know you have questions. And let's go. Ready.
Okay. I see the question slips are being collected. Hopefully they can make it up here. I will start off with a question. With 20 candidates already in the race for president next year, can you comment on who you think will be heading the ticket in Illinois in 2020?
My guess is that heading the ticket on the Republican side might be the president of the United States. I'm going to go out on a limb with that. I can't tell you. I don't know where that's going. I have no answer for that.
The U.S. Senate race, though, too.
U.S. Senate race? I'm focused on what's going on in the House. I haven't taken a look at the Senate race since I was soundly defeated by Dick Durbin in 2002, and I reminded myself that I'm never going to speak about it again the rest of my life. So, All right.
Had to ask. From Sheila Owens of ComEd. Sheila, where are you? Okay. Do you see a relationship with Mayor-elect Lightfoot on the fiscal revenue solutions other than tax increases?
Thanks, Sheila. I couldn't have written any better. Lawyer Lightfoot, as was mentioned earlier, has a relationship with my older brothers, and I've known her a little bit over the past few years. So we start off with having a trust, you know, through my family with her, and also respect for what she's done with her career because it's paralleled one of my brothers. So I've seen that. But what I find more impressive about Mayor-elect Lightfoot, not governor yet. Is that she came down to Springfield before she was sworn in. This has not happened any time in my tenure in Springfield, nor there hasn't been a governor down there in over 20 years. The fact that she came down to introduce herself is extremely important. It wasn't just a meeting with the four legislative leaders and the governor. She took time to meet members of my caucus. She was on the floor of the House of Representatives, taking questions, introducing herself, taking pictures. To me, goodwill is extremely important in Springfield. For decades, there has been a distance with the mayor of Chicago and many members of the legislature. That's why you hear downstate members talk about secession and other ideas, which is, you know, it's all rhetoric, but you know what? People in the legislature really have not had an opportunity to get to know any sitting mayor, and particularly Republicans. So this was an outstanding opportunity for her to be able to at least shake hands, introduce herself, and ask a few questions. I had a very good conversation with her privately in my office to talk about things that we can do to help her. And as I've said before, that Chicago's success is Illinois' success. I'm a suburban Republican who works in the city of Chicago, but I spend money here, and I'm glad to do it. And everybody in this room feels the same way. I want Chicago to prosper. I want Chicago to be safe. I want to make sure that Chicago is going to continue to be an international destination. And we need to do everything in Springfield to help the city of Chicago. So, Sheila, I haven't quite answered your question yet on revenue, but we have talked about pensions. That is a very serious issue that I know that Mayor-elect Lightfoot has spoken about. And I've said that over and over again. We need to do more with pensions. I've talked about what we're doing this year's budget with shorting our pensions. That's not a way to handle this. We know that. We either need to take another shot at the circuit court and the courts in Illinois under the consideration model, or, as I said earlier, if we're going to put all this effort into changing the fair tax, why don't we put that to the side? Because the biggest issue we have in state government is the looming disaster of our five systems. Change the pension code. Lori understands it, and you know that's my personal plea to the governor and also to the mayor-elect. So I can't say that there, you know, what every one of the issues she has, and I know whether it's your member of the legislature, but clearly if you are the mayor-elect, your first 2 or 3 months is like drinking from a fire hose. There's just so much that she has to manage with personnel, but also issues, how to deal with a new group of city council members, but also how do you manage the delegation and us in Springfield. So, but I want her to know that she has a she is welcome and a welcome place in my office and also with my caucus. And that goes not only for her, but this is the way I've treated every other governor that I've served under, which is every other mayor that I've served under, going back to Mayor Daley, but also specifically with current Mayor Rahm Emanuel. So I've talked to her about public safety. We talked about pensions. And we will probably have a disagreement on the constitutional amendment. And I believe that she's supportive of it. But you know what? We got a couple other things that I can help her out with, and that will go just as far, if not further. So thank you, Sheila.
From City Club member Gary Grasso. Gary, where are you? Okay, back there. Do you think the progressive tax will pass the House?
Gary, thank you for the question, and congratulations on your election as Mayor of Burr Ridge. It's my district, and good job. Thank you. Gary, I think the when we return next week, the State Senate will probably take up the constitutional amendment to change the tax code to this graduated system. The battle will be in the House of Representatives. They need 71 votes to be able to pass that in the House. The House Republican Caucus, we lost seats last November. But there's no support in the House Republican Caucus from any member to support this constitutional challenge. And I do believe that they are short at the moment. Things can happen very quickly. But I know that there was a lot of goodwill that was used in the minimum wage vote a few months ago, and particularly with downstaters and people who represent bordering areas in other states. It's going to be close, and that is my commitment, is that this is not the way to solve our problems. It sounds easy. Let's beat up on the 6% and say that 94% will not have their taxes changed, which is a little bit different from a couple of months ago. So the taxes are going to be lower for those 94%. But what will happen is that we don't know what the rates will be if they pass this. The rates will be subject to change at the whim of the legislature based on whatever the shortfalls are in the budget or with state spending. And to me, that is not the way to go about it. And like I said earlier, the one last protection we have as taxpayers is in the Constitution called the flat tax. Every state, large state that's similar to Illinois that has seen this, run deficits. They run deficits. Just read what Governor Cuomo said a few weeks ago about what happened there. They had a $2.3 billion deficit by changing the tax code and doing it in the way that Illinois wants to do it. But when those people who are going to be the $250,000-plus individuals who will leave the state, and trust me, they will leave the state, the responsibility is going to fall on the middle class. And that's why I've been saying, and many of our friends have been saying, it sounds great right now, but eventually it is going to catch up with the middle class, and they will be the ones who will bear the greatest responsibility under this change. So, Gary, my hope is that not only we're going to keep my caucus together, but I will be able to talk some sense, and also other friends who are working to defeat this. This is irresponsible. We should not be putting this much political capital in this measure, which first will not go in effect for another 2 years. We have not had a discussion on this year's budget. I'm prepared to work on the budget this year. But I mentioned a couple of other things. If we're going to change the Constitution, let's start with the biggest problem that we have. Let's start with our public pension systems. Change the pension clause, the impairment clause under the pensions. That, to me, again, I can't think of anything that is more stressful, something that is the biggest challenge that we have as a legislature is dealing with our public pensions.
From Member Charles Gardner, who's a life trustee of Roosevelt University, do you forget who was governor for the last 4 years? You let the 2011 tax increase roll back. How did that work out?
I think we're talking about Governor Quinn. Dan, he's a Fenwick Friar, too, wasn't he? Dan Cronin? Yeah. Well, it didn't work out. Again, I just said that tax increases, that in the past it's been sold. I remember these speeches. You've all seen it. You know, time to put our, you know, big boy pants on. Let's get the bills paid. But, you know, it just doesn't work. So it didn't work out. But until you deal with some of the problems that we have with the spending within state government, you know, how do we keep going back to the well? You just can't keep doing that. So when the governor gave his budget address, and I understand budget addresses are about, or a wish list. You've got to be able to say, this is where I think we should go. But when the governor said that I needed an additional $1.2 billion spending over last year, it sends the wrong message about what the priorities are for this state and also for state government.
From our member Mark Weiermuller, would you support 401ks for new public sector employees, such as the teachers, and start to phase out the current pension system?
Mark, that's a good question. I'm open to anything on changing our pension systems. It's just getting them to be reopened is the problem. It's one thing if we can change the Constitution, but secondly, we have to pass a law. But I'm very much open to moving members over to a 401k. Right now, I think we ought to look at it as an optional basis to see whether or not that is something that there's an appetite for it. But it's something that we have to consider because these pension systems, we all say that they're not going to run out of money, but someday they will. So everything should be on the table with our public pension systems if we ever have the political will to be able to look at those things and take a serious approach towards them, as opposed to just saying that we're going to just stick our head in the sand, not deal with the public pension crisis that we currently have in Illinois, and do things like shorting our pension system. It's just not right.
Okay. I guess we'll get out a little early today. Tim Egan, the Second Ward Democratic Committeeman and a member of the City Club, asked, now that Bill Durkin holds a higher elected office than you do, which Durkin carves the turkey at Thanksgiving?
Well, my brother Bill was recently elected to the Riverside Brookfield High School school board, so I congratulate him on that. And I started as a school board member back in the early 90s, and you'll find out how much of a headache it was back as now as it was back then. But no, I appreciate my brother taking on a position that is not thankful, and local government is something that is a lot of people take for granted, but it's important that we have men and women who will step forward to take on these important roles. So, Tim, if they're here, why don't you ask them? Because the last time my brothers were here, we had a little bit of a dialogue, which got a little bit out of control. So I'm just going to say that whoever the biggest and the strongest in it is on that day can select who wants to carve the turkey. So, Tim, I'm not sure where you're going with that, but if there's something hidden in that question, please let me know. But, no, it's a look, I was told not to get too deep with my family, but we have a lot of fun. My brothers and I, we all live in the area, and we get along well. So.
I thought that'd be the last question, but City Club member Lawrence Massall of the Civic Federation asked whether or not there'll be a capital bill this year and what will be the fund, how will it be funded?
Yeah. You know, I think that there's a lot of things that people have been waiting for. Things got a little bit slow out of the gate with a couple issues, but capital is something that we're overdue, that is long overdue. It's been over 12 years since we had our last program. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to realize that we do have infrastructure problems with our roads and bridges. We are in the midst of having negotiations with the administration and working groups to determine parameters, size, scope, but those are easy. The difficult part is how do you fund it? So all the options are going to be on the table. I'm not going to say any one in particular is preferred, but there has been at least a dozen options on revenue sources for capital. But I am more confident right now that we will leave Springfield by the end of May with having a solid, responsible, fair capital program in Illinois. All right.
Thank you very much. Please join me in thanking Leader Durkin for his remarks this morning. Thank you.